Father, we give you praise. Thank you for yet another opportunity to gather as a family in your presence. We magnify your name. Thank you for your word that will come to us. Thank you for all that you have been ministering to us ever since we've gathered. Thank you because we're not leave here empty and dead. Thank you for indeed you will meet. There's a word for now for each one of us. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Welcome to church once again. And I trust that this week will be the best ever. It will be full of fulfillment of God's promises. As you step, it will go ahead of you. It will cause your path to be smooth. And it will send help from Zion. In Jesus' name. 2 Kings chapter 6. And I will read from verse 8 to verse 23. Second Kings chapter 6, verse 8. I will stop at verse 23. And it says, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the king of Syria, the earth of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king. None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Now he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, surely he is in Dothan. Let me pause here. I've titled this, God has your back. Hallelujah. God has our back. Therefore, verse 14, therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the king and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike these people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is the city. Follow me, I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And there they were inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? But he answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go back to their master. Then he prepared a great feast for them And after they had ate and drank, he sent them away, and they were sent to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Amen. I said God has got our back, meaning that he watches over us and he protects, he sends protection. Hallelujah. As long as we stay within the confines of his instruction. Amen. And something I find interesting here. First thing was that the king noted, king of Syria, he made a note and said, you know what, each time I devise a plan in my bedroom, it seems that the king of Israel always has an understanding of what I want to do. And the man always, what you say, checkmates me. And then a servant of his said, no, it's not about any one of us being a spy or a traitor. It's about the fact that there is a man of God in Israel named Elisha that says everything that you say in your bedroom. And that's the way God will confuse those that rise against us. Because if you are planning with your army that, okay, you are going to attack in this manner, and then when you attack, you find out that you have been countered, okay? The opposition has countered you. How will you plan? And then they tell you that someone, the servant of God is telling them what you are saying in your bedroom. How will you plan to go and capture that same person that tells the king of Israel what you are planning against the king of Israel? It just shows you the kind of confusion that God will throw into the camp of the enemy. Because ordinarily you should have known that if I'm saying something, it's as though I'm telling my wife something in the car, not even in the house, in the car. And then when we get home, the children tell us exactly what we say in the car. And then I go to the same woman, I say, okay, let's go and talk. I'm going to capture the person that told them. Is it not 1 + 1 will tell you that even before you finish your plan, that guy will know what you are coming to do against him? That's ordinarily what you would think. Amen. But you know, God did not tell Elisha that they were coming. Okay? God did not tell Elisha. I mean, it's not recorded that God told Elisha that they were coming from him. But what God simply did was to send for an advance party that they surrounded, the chariots of fire, and also surrounded Elisha and Gehazi. Those were the only two that they were surrounded because they were the ones they were looking for. And so when those people came, they could not even recognize the man that had come to arrest. Why? Because he prayed. Hallelujah. And said, God, just let them be blind. Two things. Number one, Elisha did not query God and say, why did you send this army? Because he was working with God in the spirit. Before he asked God to open the eyes of Gehazi, he himself had seen that they were surrounded with horses and chariots, that God was ready for a battle on his behalf. Amen. In verse 16. So, okay, let me read verses 15. I said, when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? And then he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Hallelujah. So Elisha, in his closet, had already understood what God was doing. He said, those who are with us, he's not saying that, it was not at that point that Elisha was praying that God will send help. He said categorically, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Because what his servant could see were the armies of the king of Syria that had come to take them. If you are working with God on a continual basis, you have an inner witness and an inner stability when it comes to persecution and when it comes to people waging war against you. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, in verse 17, and then Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Elijah didn't pray for both eyes to be opened. Elijah prayed that Gehazi may see what he already understands. The revelation of the word of God is very important. And it's based on the revelation of the word of God that you wage your war. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't wage war based on the arm of flesh. You don't wage war based on the weapons that you think you have. Elijah could as well have said to Gehazi, take the bark and go and call, tell the king of Israel that we have chariots around us. He should send war. Amen. Because they had the manpower. He didn't do that. He prayed so that the two of them, that means him and his servant, will be on the same page concerning the things that God will do or concerning the things that God has already instituted on their behalf. Because one will be fretting, and the other one will look like I'm unperturbed. Amen. And then in so he said, and Elijah prayed, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, strike these people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. So it appears to me that they didn't recognize the man they were going to take hold of. Because the Bible says when they came to him, and then he prayed. Elisha did not tell God to strike them with the chariots of fire. Hallelujah. Neither did he say that the chariots of fire should run over them. You don't panic when you are with God. He took out his time to think and think carefully. He didn't panic. And what he was looking for at the end of the day was not a solution to the problem at hand. What was the problem at hand? The problem at hand was that they wanted to capture him, okay, and take him to the king of Syria. But that was not what Elisha was looking at. He wasn't looking at his own circumstance. Elisha was looking at an end to the siege of the king of Syria over Samaria and over Israel. And so he asked God, let them be blind. Hallelujah. And then they were blind, blinded by God. And then he approached them and said, you know what? This is not the way. It's just all the way the more that God will confuse the enemy on your behalf. So if you are going to arrest someone and the man is telling you this is not the way, number one, they did not have an understanding of the man they were going to arrest. Neither did they understand how he looks or how he sounded. Okay? Because for him to say, dude, this is not the way, and then he led them into Samaria. And then they were now the ones that were surrounded by an army. And they were blind. So they could not see spiritually, they could not see physically. Whichever one you want to take. They could not see. They could not understand. And that's the confusion that will enter the camp of the enemy on your behalf. Because God has your back. He has us engraved on the palm of his hand. Hallelujah. No longer will we be like, God has forsaken me, he has forgotten me. Gehazi could have well have said, there's a lot of problem here, and then we'll have run away. But when he called on his master calmed him down and said, you know what, calm down. This is what I see God doing. And this is what you have to understand as well. We have to understand God's perspective of dealing with us. And we have to understand that the end of everything is not about us. It's about him. At the end of all this, what happened was that when eventually Elisha prayed again that the eyes be opened, they were inside Samaria. They were surrounded. There was nothing they could do. They were captured. And then the king was asking, should I kill them? He said, no, don't kill them. Give them food and let them go back. Hallelujah. Let them go back to where they came from. And the Bible records that that was the last time they had any trouble from Syria. Why? because of wisdom, because of God's stepping in, because of Elijah allowing God to step into a situation and not thinking that this is about himself. Because where all these things started from was about the people of Israel and the fact that the king of Syria was going to capture Israel. And then God would tell Elijah. You know that ordinarily, the first thing that the king of Syria should have done was what they did eventually. Because if you get to understand that someone is telling the king of Israel about your plans, then you shouldn't even bother to go there again. But man is always thinking that I have a way, I can make a way out, I have a solution to this thing, I can make my own plans and get this thing done. Until they were humbled by God. In as much as we look at things and say that, you know what, we want God to step into situations, or we are thinking of how to solve problems ourselves, you have to understand that there's a place for the will of God and the end that God has in mind in all these matters. When we face persecution for the sake of the world, the persecution you are facing is not because of you. I think we read Mark chapter 4, verse 17. See, persecution comes for the sake of the word. So that it's either delayed or it is not fulfilled at all. That's where persecution comes. So it's not about you. So oftentimes what we do is to protect ourselves and try to protect ourselves and put ourselves in a cyst and say this is not going to happen to us. Elijah could as well have stayed within the confines of the chariots of fire and horses and said, I'm safe. And then he had no business with the rest of Israel. Amen. But he understood the plan and the game point that God is always about. It's always, always about what God would have done and not what you want to be done. Amen. And that's why God always has your back. Because he's the one that sends you on an errand or sends you on a journey. Hallelujah. What you are delivering is not your own message. What you are delivering is not your own bundle of issues. You are taking charge of God's issues here on earth. And so it is his business to take charge of you and have your back covered. In the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3. Remember Romans 15 verse 4 that talks about the fact that the things were written. They were written for our learning. So that we through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Daniel chapter 3 talks about the story of the three Hebrew men. And I read it from verse 8. It says, therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fierce furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of burning furnace, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Amen. Never challenge God. Don't. Even if you are in doubt, don't challenge him. You can challenge me, no Allah. But don't challenge God. You can challenge the next one beside you, but don't challenge God. And when you are challenging the next man beside you, be sure that he's not talking in line with God. Yeah. So if you go and challenge somebody that is talking, that is seeing like Elisha was seeing what Gehazi was not seeing, you'll be in trouble. Hallelujah. And when you know that things are out of place, they're not consistent with what God wants, why bother with them at all? Amen. It says in verse 6, okay, so, and he said, who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand. Hallelujah, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and expression of his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they eat the fiery furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. Amen. Hallelujah. So first, his guardians came to him and said, guy, all these things where you tell these people, this image, they are not bowing down. These three people that you have set on the provinces, they are not bowing down. You are the one that empowered them. So they think they are big enough, they are not bowing down. So Nebuchadnezzar thought that it was because he wasn't there. Okay? So let me even see. Maybe they will fear when in my presence the command is issued. Okay? And then he issued the command in their presence. And they were like, all these things you are saying, we are not bothered about it. Because even though we are in captivity, we are not captives. Hallelujah. So they were in captivity. They were not in their land. They were not free men. But I'm saying that in their hearts, we are free men. We understand what to do and what not to do. It's just like an embassy. If you have an embassy in any country, once you are in that boundary of that embassy, the laws of that country that they are seated in doesn't apply to you again. So if the Republic of Sajere is in Ogudu, for instance, once Mr. Sajere enters his house and is an embassy, anything he does is his own country and his own president. But once he steps out of that confines, then you are bound by the rules of that country. But because you are in an embassy, there's not in fact, when you step into the embassy, any embassy, they will tell you now that you are in, if you go to United States Embassy, that's the one I'm familiar with, they tell you that now you are in United States of America. So this one we just crossed. But that's what it means. That the rules that apply to you now are the rules of their country. Forget that you are in your country, but this is our territory. Your heart is the greatest territory that you have. And the one that you hold there before God and before man, your heart, is the core of your being. And that's when God came calling, God did not look for your physical appearance. He did not look for your soul. He went for the spirit man. That's where God has control. Amen. And then further down, so they replied the king and said, you know what, we are not, and even if our God does not come, don't worry. We are not bound by this because we know our change of physical address and location does not mean that we have changed our identity in God. Amen. You have to hold that identity there if you will see God work on your behalf. So imagine if they saw the king and then they started fretting and said, the king is here. We must do what he has said. I know in this age and time, it will be very, very difficult for people because understanding has been diluted. But we still see them play out in this age and time. And that's when people say, oh, wow, that's a good show of faith. Persecution comes for the sake of the word. And it's not because of you. Because you are holding on to the word. And then persecution comes, so you drop it. And then the word will look like it have no effect. So he said that in verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression of his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. So what they did was, the king was so hungry. He didn't want anything about them to remain. They packed all their clothes. They told them to wear 6. They packed everything, bound them, and said, you know, we are going to burn you, everything that will remind everyone about you. Because they just defied the king in front of everybody. Amen. But when you stand on the right side, God has your back. Amen. When you stand with God, he has your back. Even when it looks like he's not working, he has your back. Now, the men that were going to throw them in fire, they died. Those men were not in fire. Have you been where a house is burning before? Okay, no, my house is even too extreme. Have you seen where they are burning ram, ragu? You know, in those days, it's either you use blade to remove the fur, or you decide that you are going to burn it. Abi? Have you been near it before where they're burning it? How hot it is? Very, very hot. I was privileged to understand very well and very fast in life that you have to do very nice things so that you don't end up in hellfire. So that day in my office, we had a terrible power outage and the AC was not working. So the AC is not this one, so. It was an industrial office, industrial ACs. They were meant for machines. They're not meant for human beings. So when you enter, if I want to enter that room, I must get a jacket, as if I was in another country, like winter. I must get a jacket to stay in that room. If I stay in that room for 5 minutes, I'll come out with a cold, without a jacket. So that to tell you how the ACs were pumping. They pump. And then suddenly we had a power outage. It's supposed to be 3-phase. That fits the AC. And then one face was missing, so the ACs were not working. And then, because the machines were working, temperature started rising. I don't know if somebody remembers. Temperature started rising from 18 degrees, it rose to 48 degrees, and then it went to 60 degrees. And the men that were trying to solve the problem of the AC must enter that room. Because it was in civilians, you have the changeover so that they can solve the problem. Okay? And one of the issues was that once you engage the changeover gear, it will drop after some time, maybe like 3-5 minutes, it will drop. But if you keep it up there, and like Aaron and all kept Moses' hand up, they kept winning. If you keep it up, the ACs will keep working. When it comes down, there's trouble. So while they were battling with the source of the problem, it was important because some of the machines there, their temperature limit was 48 degrees. Some was about 70 degrees. So the ones on 48 degrees, they were already shutting down. All the fans that were inside, they were shutting down. We were seeing it. And we brought all these Mangolo fans. They were doing nothing. And then someone said, let's hold this thing up here. See, the men that were holding, do you remember this thing, Sunday? The men, they were holding this thing up. Eh? They will stay there 3 minutes. It will come out. Another one will come in. When he comes out, you think that he just had a bath. That's how the heat was. You think that this guy just finished having a battle. It was from the scalp of the head. Me, I didn't go inside though. When the guy came out, I said, "What happened?" He said, "It's very hot." I put my head in. I said, "This hot?" He said, "Yes." I said, "How many degrees?" I went to the computer, I checked. How many degrees? Say 60. Say, ha. 60. What's the boiling point of water? 100. Then the guys, and we were doing this thing from afternoon till like 11 p.m. Then the guys would go. They would hold it again. So there were like four of them. They would just, so that this is, we pick. I said, "This is what God is saying, you know. The hell is hot. If this one is this, you better know what the Bible is saying. And be on God's side." I remember one time, when I can't remember if it was a naming ceremony or something. So my mom called a mechanic, and then the guy came, slaughtered the ram, and he was burning the head and everything. And one of the boys helping him dipped his hand. He didn't even touch anything. It was just the heat. And the guy screamed. The man said, "You don't know whether what you are doing is good or bad. You better get used to this heat. In case you are..." "You better get used to this heat. There's no way you can get used to it." That day, I understood that the comfort that we... You see, God is very nice. That we are walking in 30 degrees and then say, it's hot. It's not hot. 48 degrees. And they were sweating from the top of their head, right here. It was coming down. I thought. And then imagine that they were holding something electrical. So they must keep their hands dry. And there's no way. Everything was pumping water. Your palms, everything. And this was hot. So this one, the furnace was already hot. The king in his fury said, "Make it 7 times hotter. Because you are standing with God." And that's what you'll be facing as you are going along. So just get your mind ready. It's not about the world not working. Why has God forsaken me? Persecution comes for the sake of the world. Go and read Mark 4 again. He said, "Those that accept it, I hold on to it, those ones will bear fruit. 60, 30, 100. Those that accept it, and then they let the cares of this world distract them. When the persecution comes, it snatches away that word. Let the word of God sit on your heart. Accept it." And so, they threw them in fire. So the people that were going to throw them, I don't even know how they threw them into fire, because, except they used stick. Because the Bible said that the ones that went in there were dying. Or except they said, "Walk into the fire yourself." Anyhow. They managed to get them inside the fire. Abby? I guess they probably would have walked in, because those guys were really very proud. For them to be talking to the king, that's a lot of pride. Abby? So what are you saying? Don't worry, even if you're not going to, you're not going to bow down, whatever happens, happens. We have a God. I mean, the guy was like, "What's this?" And imagine how all of us react when small children ask you small question. "Can you be talking to me like that?" You know, I'm a jolly fellow. So when those small children want to greet me, sometimes they give me punch. They give me, I don't care. They give me punch. And then one boy, his mother was really very angry. "How can you be greeting me like that?" Blah, blah, blah. I said, "Madam, better get used to this greeting." He said, no. "You are supportive." I said, "Better get used to it." The guy in his heart, that's the way he understands to greet. After we greet, he does not say, "Muiwa, sit down." He says, "Sir." Abi? So let's go back here. And then in verse 24, verse 23, he says, "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, They did not cast three men into the bound in the midst of fire. They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." Look, he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Amen. Then King Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. Came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The air on the air was not synced, nor were the garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered him, his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God." Amen. The man that they defile is the one saying this. He said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God." He says, "Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language who speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made as an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Amen. They stood for God. The end was not about them. Now in Babylon, nobody there speaks against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When Elijah had the encounter with the men of Syria, at the end of it, the land of Israel became free from oppression. It is not about you or me. It's about the name of the Lord. And it's about the acceptance of his kingship over men. So all that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did was not for them. They did not say it so that they would be saved. But God, they did not even know how God would save them. But God came through for them all the same. And at the end of the day, it was all about God. The end of this matter is always about God. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is where we are going. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 7. Round up very quickly. He said, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of these ages knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." You know what? The devil thought that going to the cross will end the reign and the kingship of Christ. The Bible says, if they had known, they wouldn't have sent him to the cross. Hallelujah. It was a mystery to them. Okay? He says, "For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Hallelujah. It says, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." Amen. This part of the scripture tells me one thing. There is no longer a mystery. You He says here, let me read verse 9. He says, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man. You know, people say that in a lot when they want to be very spiritual. Ah, don't worry. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. You don't know what God is. Wait a bit. Then the things which God, he says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Abi? Then verse 10 says, but. Amen. That but negates all the eye has not seen, all the ear has not heard, all that it has not entered into the heart of men, but negates it. It says, but God has revealed them to us through his spirit. So if you that is expecting God to show up, he's saying eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, you are in error. Because if you walk in the spirit, he says, for the spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Amen. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. It is no longer a mystery. It becomes mysterious to you that is not walking with the Spirit of God. So no longer should it be a puzzle to you that God has your back. Hallelujah. We've seen how he dealt with them in the Old Testament. He will show up. Amen. How much more for you and I that are carriers of his presence? Hallelujah. He says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So if your eye has not seen, and your ear has not heard, it's because you have not discerned these things spiritually. Because that's the place, that's the point and the realm where they are revealed to you by God. Amen. God has your back in everything. And you can as well know when you walk with the Spirit of God. Ezekiel said, it is to your advantage that I go. And then the Spirit comes. This is the advantage he was talking about. So that you can know all, and you're able to search out all the promises that he has given to you. And everything, all the things that he has fully given to us. That's the essence. So that you know. And then he can comfort you on this journey. But if you are not walking with the Spirit of God, then you'll always be at the point where your eye has not seen and your ear has not heard. Before the Spirit of God came, then I had not seen, nor yet heard. But now it has been revealed to us. But you can only get that revelation if you are in the Spirit. Amen. So if a man is walking from a standpoint of revelation, and you are walking from the natural mind, who has a greater advantage? The man with the revelation. So if you see me preparing for war, yeah, what's wrong with this man? You don't know the revelation I have. He said, well, there's nothing, everything is fine, there's nothing around. I said, how is this man preparing for war? Just like in the days of Noah. He had a revelation from God. But the natural mind could not fathom it. And so he was preparing and was doing the things that God was asking him. And then everyone thought this guy is foolish. So to them, they couldn't see what God was going to do. But to Noah, to obey, was divine. God has our back. But do we have his back? We will stand like Elisha did. We will stand like Shadrach and Abednego did. We will stand in the place, in the realm of the Spirit to keep watch. That's what is critical. God will keep his own part of the deal. we will keep our own part of the deal. We are not like them that do not know God. And we should not be like them. Hallelujah. That's why Jude 1:20 is very important. And in this time and in this age, we have to walk in the Spirit. Jude 1:20 says, you should pray. Building up your most holy faith in the Holy Ghost. And I think we read it in the Sunday school this morning. I talked about you being praying and walking in love. We cannot disconnect ourselves from the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It's only when you have an understanding of God, what God is doing on your behalf, like Elisha did, that you have an understanding that you are safe. Hallelujah. And you have an understanding of the end. Amen. God has our back in all things. And those things are not important. What is important is his will and his end point. In the first instance, there was peace to the house of Israel because one man could hear God and could tell what God wanted to do. In the second instance, there was a decree that everybody should not speak against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because those three men could understand that standing up for God was what was important, not about themselves. Amen. Stand up and stand up for God. Let's rise to our feet. Let's just talk to God this morning. The Bible says, if the rulers of these ages had known, they would not have crucified him. Hallelujah. If they had been reading the scriptures, if they had been walking in the Spirit, they would have known that the end of crucifixion will be salvation for all men, for as many as I will receive it. Let's thank him this morning and give him all praise. Thank you, because we have an understanding of the God that we're serving. We're not just following a bad wagon. We're not just following a fad. We are following with understanding and with knowledge. And when persecution comes for the sake of the world, we are not blown away. Hallelujah. But because we have accepted it and we are bearing fruit. And thank him, because indeed his word sets us apart and sets us, makes a difference in our life. Give him all the glory this morning. Father, we thank you and we give you praise. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the seeds that have been sown. And thank you, because as we ruminate, meditate on your word, you'll expand it to us the more. There's a revelation of it that will come for us in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.